Hello everyone, my name is Steph McLeod and welcome to a brand new episode of This Is My Story, This Is My Song. In this podcast, I'll be interviewing amazing people about life, ministry, songs and music, and what it means to serve the church, especially during a season of lockdown and isolation. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Dr. Steve Smith, a GP and specialist in substance misuse. Dr. Steve is the project and medical director at Keys Community Detox and founder of the Keys Project. Join us as we discuss addiction, detox, and the power of community in a Christ-centered recovery. We also chat about the 12 steps, the power of daily prayer, and also ask whether or not it's okay for Christians to meditate. We go real deep in this one, and I know you're going to love it. So sit back, relax, and I'll catch you at the end. Hello, Dr. Steve. Welcome to the show. It's lovely to see you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. It's lovely to chat with you. Thanks so much for coming on. I've got some questions for you. I'd love to just ask you, so what got you started on this journey? Could you tell me a little bit about how Keys came about?
Sure. I've been working as a doctor for many years and I've done various different things. And I've been working as a GP with a special interest in drug in addiction for nearly 20 years. And I found it very, very, very challenging working as a Christian in a secular health service with so many people in addiction who were clearly on a spiritual journey. And there are so many constraints within the NHS when it comes to even talking about God, let alone praying. So I just felt there was a real need to set something up. And I'm very aware that there are various Christian addiction recovery charities, but I suppose something came together where I thought I as a Christian doctor could help people not simply explore recovery, but also look at detox and the medical aspects of addiction. So yeah, so Keys sort of evolved from that in about 2013. We actually launched Keys in 2014, and it was particularly when I was working in an inpatient detox unit. I was in Bradford in West Yorkshire, and there just seemed to be so many people who I knew were on the 12 steps, doing the 12 steps, who by definition had a relationship with God. And what God meant for them obviously varied from person to person. But for many of them, it was the God of the Bible, Almighty God, that they were praying to as part of their recovery journey. So I just felt this real need to set something up that was going to just acknowledge the spiritual component to recovery.
That's amazing. So I guess this would lead on to my next question. So could you tell us a little bit more about Keys? It says on the website that Keys is a holistic church-based detox program that helps people escape from alcohol and drug addiction through integrated medical, spiritual and community support. Could you maybe unpack that a bit for us? And like, what does it mean holistically? And, you know, just give us a little bit of info about what do Keys do? What do you do, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I remember we had these sort of vague ideas of what we were going to be setting up. And my wife and I just prayed about it. And the word Keys came to my wife, really, that we should call it the Keys Project. And we quickly realized that there were three main keys to what we were offering. And that's medical, community, and spiritual. And I think they're all pretty vital. The medical component is perhaps the simplest, but obviously not so accessible for many people who haven't got access to medical professionals. And so, as a doctor working in addictions, I recognised that the science, if you like, of detox is actually very simple. It's not complicated, and it occurred to me that non-medical people in churches could be trained up to understand the principles of substance misuse and how to help people actually detox from drugs and alcohol. Because obviously a lot of harmful substance use doesn't necessarily require detox. But when people are physically dependent upon alcohol and drugs, if they were just to suddenly stop, they could be very unwell. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you will know, the symptoms can be very unpleasant, if not dangerous. So people need to understand how to help people stop using drugs and alcohol in a safe way, in liaison with GPs and drug and alcohol clinics. So basically, that's primarily what we offer in the Keys Detox program, is a liaison service between the medical profession, and it works very well. You know, we've seen so many people detox safely from drugs and alcohol. Then the next thing that we offer, the next key, is community support. And that is so important. I think as Christians and in churches, we probably often forget how enormously therapeutic community is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who are struggling in addiction are in really dysfunctional communities. They're with other people who are also struggling with addiction. And if we can help people to find brothers and sisters that are going to love them and support them and encourage them, that's going to be a massive component to helping them out of addiction and into recovery. There's one statistic that I like quoting that comes from 12 Steps research, and that's if someone who's in addiction adds somebody to their social network who is sober or in sobriety, just that one person in their social network improves their long-term recovery prospects by 30%. Mm. So how much more powerful is going to be helping people to find community with a whole set of brothers and sisters who are in themselves sober so community, church community, is really, really powerful, really helpful. And then the third component is spiritual, helping people to recognize the roots of their pain. As you and I have discussed previously, addiction is primarily rooted in pain. And to help people to recognize that is really important. And as Christians, we have the way out of pain. It can sound a bit cliche, but it is absolutely real that when you can help somebody to know that they are loved and they're accepted and they're forgiven, not just by the community, but especially by God, that's life-changing. It's just such a privilege to see people having their lives turned around from addiction by actually coming to that recognition that God loves them and accepts them as they are, totally forgives them, totally loves them. It's transformational stuff. So that's the package. And of course, as part of the community component of our work, we do like to look at other areas that are affecting people in their recovery journey: family issues, health issues, relationships, finances, whatever else may be keeping them trapped in addiction.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've found that in my own journey, specifically with recovery, that addiction tends to flow out and affect other people quite dramatically. I think there's a statistic that for every addict, at least four people are directly affected by their addiction, you know, so
sure.
Massively affected, you know, whether that's spouse or children or colleagues or anything like that. So all these things are important, and I totally agree with the community aspect. As a recovering addict and alcoholic myself, it's a very lonely existence. Isolation is a massive symptom of addiction, and I found that I was often feeling very lonely, which is, you know, I realized that with working with others and being part of a community, whether it was church or recovery fellowship, that that was massive for me, you know, especially to connect with people that understood what I was going through, you know, because if trying to explain to somebody where you're at when you don't know exactly what's going on with yourself, you know, sometimes you don't understand why you're an addict or what you're an alcoholic. You just can't live without this substance. But to have somebody that's, that's clean, sober, and living a sober life, like maybe identify with that stuff, is so powerful. You know, hearing a guy getting vulnerable about his journey, this guy's now my sponsor, it gave me the courage to get vulnerable and honest about my stuff for the first time, because I found that I was able to open up about that stuff much more than I could have done with my wife or my doctor or somebody at my church. And it was just a random guy that I met in a meeting who was open and honest about his walk. And I was like, I can't believe that he can do it. I can't believe he's been able to do that. So maybe there's hope for me, you know?
Sure.
And that got me started on my 12-step journey, which, you know, I mean, there's so much we can talk about. I'd like to talk about the 12 steps in a second, but, you know, with Christ at the foundation and at the center, to know that I'm loved, to know that I'm forgiven, even when I'm at my rock bottom, is incredibly powerful, because, you know, we've spent our whole lives being told that we're a failure, or, you know, you've messed up again, or that you're worthless and stuff like that. And you believe that stuff, eh? So in order to anesthetize that, you drink and you take drugs because it's, you know, that's your way out, you know what I mean? And then to suddenly have that acknowledgement and that paradigm shift that we are loved even in our brokenness is incredibly powerful, you know? So, I mean, it's just remarkable that you've got these three key components which cover everything. That's absolutely fantastic. And it's a liaison service with churches. Very powerful stuff, man. Absolutely fantastic. Let's get back to the 12 steps, because the 12 steps are, I think there was a prominent American politician said the greatest thing to ever come out of the 20th century was the 12-step program.
Yeah.
The 12-step program, which came out of Alcoholics Anonymous, and prior to that, it was the Oxford Group, which it was a Christian fellowship. I think there was maybe 7 steps, which then got developed into 12 and made them more available to everybody. So it was a God of your own understanding. So people of multi-faith and of non-faith, it became non-Christian. But what Keys does is an adapted 12-step program based on the 12 steps with Christ at the center. Is that right?
It is, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the 12 steps are a gift from God to people in addiction, but actually, really, to any of us, to all of us,
yep.
Because we're all powerless. That's the step one, isn't it? To live the life that we want to live, and the only way to really be the people that God created us to be is to be in communion with God, which is step two and three, to recognize that need and to get that connection with God. So yeah, I love the 12 steps. I love what it has helped so many people to achieve.
I remember so I relapsed about 5 years ago as a Christian, which was devastating. It actually says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's very difficult for a man of faith to bounce back from a relapse compared to someone who might be agnostic or atheist, because of the weight of the guilt and shame that they carry around with them. And I was just riddled with shame and guilt when that happened. And, you know, to read those words, I was kind of like, somebody else gets this. You know what I mean? But the 12-step program not only gave me something that could help me maintain my sobriety on a day-to-day basis, which it does, but it also connected me to God in a way I never thought possible. Because for me, fundamentally, the 12 steps helped me to understand that whenever I'm working on my will, my power, things are going to go wrong, you know?
Exactly,
In terms of addiction, they always do. So I need to trust and put all my faith into God that only through his power I'm going to get sober and stay sober. And then it also helped me to clean house and get honest. And for the first time in my life, you know, just with somebody that I could trust and I could bring it to God, and then start rebuilding my life and turning my weaknesses into strengths, and then making amends, and then prayer and meditation. And see, when the penny dropped for me, it was all about Jesus. It was all about God, and it was all biblical. And I was like, oh my goodness, how could I have been so blind to this? And I said to my wife, you need to read this book. And she read that. She read the big book of AA, and she said, every Christian that gets married needs to read this book on their, you know, when, as soon as they get married, because it just helps you to understand so much about yourself. And for me personally, it connected my, rekindled my faith in a way that I never thought possible. And in terms of keys and the people that go through the 12 steps, I mean, how do they cope with them having a program in their life, especially an adapted Christian 12 steps? Does it work together? And what are the results like? Is it good results?
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing wonderful results. And, you know, I don't suppose we should really be surprised because, well, from the medical side of things, we know that detox, you can help some, you can help anybody detox from drugs and alcohol as long as you do it in a safe and controlled way. The trouble is, if you haven't dealt with the issues that underlie the addiction in the first place, then inevitably they're going to relapse. And if you can combine helping people to stop drinking, stop taking drugs, and at the same time to connect with the love of God, it's transformational. And I've spoken to people. So, you know, you were asking about 12 steps. You know, I have had various conversations with people who don't have that, have issues with the 12 steps, maybe from a theological point of view. And I just don't get that. I think sometimes there are people who have a problem perhaps with aspects of 12 step culture that sometimes maybe not really what it should be. But just that connect, that the 12 steps is a wonderful way of helping people to recognize their total, their need for total dependence upon God, and also with their fellow man, because it's making amends, it's forgiving, being forgiven, dealing with the aspects of our lives where we've messed up. It's a great system for helping people to get their lives back on track in communion with God.
Yeah. You've taken the word right out of my mouth in such a poignant and beautiful way. I absolutely love the program, but it's what I put into it. You know, I mean, it's definitely everybody's recovery journey is different, but we all suffer in the same way. But I know that when I'm applying myself to my program, it's strange. I feel like I'm applying more to my relationship with Jesus as well, you know, because I'm praying every day. You know, I'm spending time listening to God through meditation every day. I'm more, there's more chance that I'm going to read my Bible. I'm feeling more motivated. I am connecting with others, you know, which is the cure to the loneliness that we were talking about. So I find that when I'm working my program, which isn't difficult, you know. So I said that to somebody once, you know, why is recovery so hard? And he says, well, it's not really, you know, it's not really that difficult. It's pretty easy just applying these little things into your day. Life is tough. Life throws you the boomerangs, man, and that's life, you know. But if you've got your program down, it's going to take the impact of that out significantly. So, like one of my favorite passages in the Bible is from James, chapter 2, which is, you know, faith without works is dead, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just love that if I can just apply my time and my effort into my program and connect with God through that, then I find that spiritually I get this paradoxical thing where the more I put in, the more it seems to open me up to honesty and freedom and then healing, you know, which is a truly remarkable thing, which is just wonderful. Keys also has recovery groups itself, doesn't it? It has like 12-step fellowships have recovery groups. Keys also does, everything's online now, which we'll get to in a sec, but there are recovery groups, aren't there?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we encourage with our centres. So we have various centres across the country, and part of the program is to have a recovery group, which meets ideally on a weekly basis, but with some interaction during the week as well, and hopefully meeting up in church as well. They ideally are face to face, but also online. So We've been running them online over this last year during the pandemic, but thankfully some of our meetings are now starting face to face again. And again, it's just that community and sharing. You I just want to go back to, you mentioned the word honesty and vulnerability. And I think people who have been in addiction are in some ways better off than those that haven't, just because they've recognized their need. And that, I know people in the 12 steps often talk about the gift of rock bottom, don't they?
Mm.
Just it's a place where you come to that utter dependence upon someone else other than yourself to pick yourself up. And I just think that's something that every one of us, however well we think we're doing, benefit from, recognizing that actually I cannot do this alone. And you know, there's that verse in, I've forgotten which psalm it is, 104, is it? Unless the Lord builds the house, the workers labor in vain. And that applies to every aspect of our life, whatever we're doing, unless God does it,
mm-hmm.
it's a waste of time. And so that's one of the things that I love about what the 12 Steps Fellowship brings, is that position of honesty and vulnerability about our needs and helplessness.
That's very powerful. One of the things that I've learned in my own recovery journey is that it's a one day at a time thing, you know, because if you know, when I remember coming in the door early sobriety and listening to people who were 20, 30 years sober, thinking, you know, I can't even get 20, 30 minutes sober, you know what I mean? That's absolutely bonkers, you know. But one of the things he said to me is, you know, it's going to be one day at a time, son, you know. If you can keep yourself on the right road for today, you know,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow's going to take care of itself, you know. So,
sure.
You know, you've, even from day one, it was like, you know, have trust, have faith, son. You know, you've got this because God's got you. After going through the steps, you get to like the maintenance stage, you know what I mean, which is maintaining your recovery, which is, you know, staying accountable, writing an inventory and stuff like that in step 10, but prayer and meditation as well. I mean, as a Christian, I used to pray because, and I'll be very honest here, one, because it was the Christian thing to do, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I really took it for granted. But now I do it because my life literally depends on it, you know what I mean? And from that, it has enriched my relationship with God so much. And meditation, which is what I want to talk to you about, which can sometimes be a word that freaks Christians out, you know what I mean? It's often seen as something which is completely not Christian, you know, especially with all the things that are happening in the world today. But I know you've developed a meditation app, which is very, very Christ and God-centered, which is called Live From Rest. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I absolutely love it.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Yes. So one aspect of helping people to find a place of peace is learning to be still in the presence of God. And you're absolutely right. There are so many Christians that when you mention the word meditation, alarm bells ring and they're thinking of, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, but actually meditation and stillness are right through the Bible. We've got a page on our website, Live From Rest website, with just so many verses throughout the scriptures that encourage us to be still and to meditate. Now, I think the meaning of those words has changed. So the word meditate literally means to chew over, to ponder. Which doesn't necessarily have to be in a place of stillness, but actually the two go very well together. And there's that love, Psalm 46, that lovely verse that so many of us know, just to be still and know that I am God. And that practice itself is so very helpful. Whether or not you're a Christian, whether or not you do it with God in your life, being still and focusing, just being still, maybe focusing on your breathing or focusing on what's around you rather than worrying about the future or regretting the past. Even for somebody who doesn't know God, that is very, very powerfully helpful for people struggling with anxiety and fear and depressive thoughts. But if at the same time you can turn your thoughts from a place of stillness to the presence of God and meditate on his love for you and be grateful. Oh my goodness, gratitude is such a powerful tool for mental health. we could have a big discussion on that. So just to meditate on the good things that God has done, that command is right through Scripture. So we developed Live From Rest initially as a tool to help people in addiction, but actually I just recognized the need for it for myself, and I developed the app with some friends, including my son Josh, who you know. And Josh came up with this line that we like to use, that we developed this app because we needed it, and we think you might need it too. Yeah. And I absolutely know. You mentioned day by day with recovery. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I need to do maybe not literally the 12 steps, but I need that time with God on a daily basis. If I'm just to keep get me through, and I like saying that the fight for the night is fought in the day, because if we leave it until nighttime, until we deal with all the, if we wait until the storm comes to deal with difficulties in our lives, then we're not going to be prepared, and we're not going to manage. Whereas if we're on a daily basis, just stilling our hearts, connecting with God, recognizing that life can be tough, then when the storm comes, we're so much better, and such a much better place to deal with what life throws at us. So yeah, I love the practice of stillness. It gets me through life. Stillness and meditation. I'm just really glad for the friends that came our way that helped us develop the app, and Josh has helped with the design and the recordings. And I'm just delighted that many people have been really helped by it, and we've had such positive feedback. That's been a great encouragement to us.
Oh, it's wonderful, man! It's on the various app stores and stuff, isn't it? Because that's where I got mine. I've got it on my phone. It's lovely actually listening to Josh. Also a little bit weird because I know him, so like I'm meditating and it's I'm listening to him speak and stuff like that, but he's got such a lovely grounding and calming voice, and you've got the soundscapes and the environmental things which can really help you and feel grounded, and you've got the little different types of bells and stuff like that just to kind of help you check in. I think meditation is incredibly powerful. As you said, it literally means to study, but the way I see prayer and meditation is prayer is an opportunity for me to speak with God, to talk to God, and meditation is a way for me to rest and listen to God. My very basic when I'm talking to others. And I've got a friend who, when I first met him, was a staunch atheist, and very opposed to the 12 steps and anything at all that had the horrible three-letter word in it. And he would literally sit there and say, "This is indoctrination," and I was like, man, I'm in a place where I will do anything to get sober, but I don't know what it's like for somebody that doesn't have that kind of faith in their life. But I remember walking with him one day and he said, "Man, I forgot to pray this morning." And I looked at him and I was like, "You pray?" And he went, "Yeah, man, every day." And I went, "For real?" And he went, "Listen, my sponsor told me to get on my knees every day and pray to God and ask him to keep me sober. And it's working." He says, "I've no idea why." I says, "I've no idea who I'm praying to, but I get on my knees and my head's telling me that I look like an idiot. But I'm praying and I feel like it can carry me through the rest of the day." And then, he says, "And I sit and I meditate." And one of the hardest things I've ever had to learn was to spend time with myself, just sitting in and checking in with myself, and sitting there and listening to God has been so fulfilling and really helped me to grow. And it's all these things that I really took for granted, especially in the world of Netflix and Candy Crush and all these things, I just didn't know who I was. So to develop a compassionate relationship towards that, meditation's helped massively with that, because if I know where I'm at and I know where I'm grounded, then I can certainly have a better effect on those that I love and care about in the communities that I'm involved in. And who wouldn't want to spend time with their Heavenly Father, man? You know what I mean? You know,
We need to discipline ourselves to do it, because you just mentioned the distractions that we have, all the games, the gadgets, the Netflix, the news, all these messages, social media pings and pongs, and you know, all the time we're being distracted. And so most of us really need some form of discipline, don't we? Just to still ourselves, because our heads are turning over at 100 miles an hour, and just finding that stillness is. It's helpful for our walk with God. It's really helpful medically. That could be another whole discussion. I'm excited by the science of meditation, and that this is not in relation to God. People's life expectancy will improve. Their chances of getting dementia will go down. Their general mental well-being will improve if they take time just to be still. Period of time every day. It's a great practice.
Oh, absolutely. And I thought it was utter nonsense when I first started doing it. You know, I mean, incredibly skeptical. I just thought, you're just sitting down, breathing and looking like an idiot. You know what I mean? And I'm a skeptical guy, you know, but after about 6 weeks of meditating for 10 minutes every day, I just felt so grounded. I wasn't being as much driven emotionally. So my emotions would take over and I would react, which was very often the cause of me picking up a drink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the first time in my life, I was able to step back and go, okay, you're anxious. Mm-hmm. Why are you anxious? And do something constructively with it. Or, okay, you're angry. These are all human emotions, man. You know, these are all part of who we are. Okay, you're afraid. And fear's okay, because, I mean, it stops you getting hit by buses when you cross the street, man. You know what I mean? It's telling mm-hmm. you need to get out of the way, man, and you're going to get flattened. And, you know, but I'm a little bit anxious. I'm a little bit afraid. What can I do with that instead of reacting uncontrollably and then suddenly going into survival mode, which is part of trauma, and picking up a drink or a chocolate bar or doing something which is unhealthy. So meditation has immeasurably helped me with that, and it's been fantastic. So Live From Rest, can't advocate that enough. Go check it out if you want to explore it, and also check out the website. There's loads of information on there, and people can get in touch and ask if they've got any questions. Right,
absolutely. Just going back to your list, I'd add sleep as well. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be listening to this. Probably 30% will at some stage have some serious issues with sleep. I've had terrible issues with sleep, and meditation has been a wonderful way of just helping. Not meditating so that I get tired and go to sleep, because that can be counterproductive, but just slowing myself down during the day so that when it comes to the night, there's not that anxiety about whether or not we can sleep. And sorry, your question was how they can find, what was the question? Sorry, again.
So if people want to get in touch and ask about the app, like if they've got questions before they use it, because understandably they might have, this might be a new experience for them. So they might just want to ask some questions about the app. Is that cool? And how might they do that?
Please get in touch. So livefromrest.com. And you can contact us through the website or directly as hello@livefromrest.com.
That's amazing. And also, if any of our listeners have got, this would be primarily in the UK, but if anybody knows anybody that might want to get in touch to get involved with Keys or ask advice for support, for either themselves or that for somebody that's in recovery, how would they get in touch with Keys or yourself to do that?
Yeah, so for any issues with addiction, then go to keysdetox.org, keysdetox.org, and you can get in contact with us via the website. We've got a great team who will be delighted to deal with any inquiries, and we have an online support group that people are very welcome to join if that would be something they'd like.
Amazing. I found that detox or especially withdrawal was one of the hardest parts of active addiction. It certainly kept me using for a very, very long time. Alcohol withdrawal, DTs, is utterly horrific, man. Not to mention incredibly dangerous, you know what I mean? So not knowing how to get through that or certainly kept me drinking much longer than was probably necessary. So that's absolutely fantastic. So if you, if you're struggling with addiction, you need a detox, but you don't know where to start, get in touch with Keys at their website. And honestly, it'll be that, that is the first step, is reaching out and asking for help. It was one of the hardest and most liberating things I have ever done. So please do get in touch with Keys. So I just want to finish off by asking you about the big gig. Right. So last December I had the honor of being a performer on the big gig, which was all done online. You and Josh hosted it to raise money for Keys. Could you tell us a little bit about it? And there's another one happening this year, right?
There is. And we are delighted to have you headlining it.
It's
the 4th of December, and wherever you are, you can watch it live because it will be live streamed. Go to thebiggig.uk, and yeah, we had such a great time, and we're really looking forward to next 4th of December. So we've got a selection of artists that we are anticipating having with you, Steph. So it's going to be a great time of celebration and fundraising. So it's actually going to take place physically in Brighton. So there'll be people coming to it physically, and also hopefully watching it all over the world on the live stream as well.
That's amazing. And this is to raise money for Keys to help with the service and provide the clients with the facilities and all that kind of stuff. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing. Key of the Keys project is really exciting, but the fact is we do need funding. We rely entirely on people giving to us, because it's not something that we could apply to the government for. So yeah, this is one of the ways in which we are looking for financial support.
Absolutely. And if people, I'll leave a link in the description to all of this, but if people would like to give to Keys and to the incredible work that you're doing, how would they do that? Is there a Just Give page, or is it through the website?
Yeah, you can give very securely, completely securely, through our give or donate page on the website. So go to, again, keysdetox.org, and then find the donate page. And oh, yes, please, please, please. Just what we're really looking for is regular donor. If somebody can give even £5, £10, or whatever currency they're using on a regular basis, that would make an enormous difference.
Well, that's amazing, man. And I'll say it, because I'm not scared to ask people for money for other people. If you've got it, please give it, because it's a life that is so worth saving. So please help Keys do the incredible work that they're doing so well. Well, listen, Dr. Steve, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I've absolutely loved talking to you, man, and just your insight into recovery, both from a medical scientific point of view, but also spiritually. And I know our community are just going to absolutely love this episode. So thank you so much. And I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Oh, Steph, thank you so much. We're really, really so pleased to have you as a partner, and for your support for Keys has been phenomenal. So thank you, and I've loved this chat as well.
Wonderful. All right, mate. God bless. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
That was so very close to my heart. I am incredibly grateful for the time that Dr. Steve and I had to chat together. Thank you for joining us, and if you would like to know more about detox, recovery and addiction, whether it's for yourself or someone else, or even for your church, you can connect with Keys via their website at www.keysuk.org. You can also check out the Live From Rest app at livefromrest.com. Live From Rest is a totally free meditation app rooted in the way of Jesus. Go check it out. The website's amazing and it's full of resources. As always, I am incredibly grateful for you all tuning in today. Thank you so much, community. And if you'd like to keep up to date with any new episodes and content, you're welcome to subscribe to the channel and our podcast. This is Steph McLeod signing off. Until next time, God bless.